be counting all day long. On my best day, I'm a child of God. On my worst day, I'm a child of God. Oh, every day is a good day.
many can testify this morning that they know who they are in Jesus Christ? Can I hereby by show a clap of hands? How many are sure, founded and grounded in their identity in Jesus Christ? Amen. I thank God. Thank God for that testimony. Amen. And those kids, they say it with affirmation. And guess what, y'all? We have to be affirmed in Jesus Christ in this world today. Because if we're not, we're going to get swept away in the culture of this world. Amen. And people never see Jesus Christ. Amen. But I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Jesus lives on the inside of me. How many are glad that Jesus is living on the inside of them? Oh, y'all ain't happy this morning. Y'all just here because it's third Sunday and it's due Sunday. How many are happy that Jesus Christ is living on the inside of them? Listen, 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 listen. We can't give it to y'all. Either you got the joy or you don't. Amen. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. If you got Jesus living on the inside and you know you are the redeemed of the true and living God, have eternal life, have the promise of everlasting life, won't you act like you know it and give God a praise? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen. Give an honor to the Spirit of the living God. I'm telling you. Amen. And just the beauty and the privilege of this wonderful fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. And to Pastor Wright, to Deacon Wright, to Minister Tolbert. Amen. To all the officials, everybody in the building. Amen. To my wife, to everybody in the building, we just greet you in Jesus' joy. Amen. Because he is our joy. And I'm just sitting up here thinking about last time we were up here. And this technology, I'm telling you, we learned something about this technology on Friday night. Amen. But we thank God. Amen. In the book of the Psalms, man, we're not going to belabor the moment. Amen. I just want to say we celebrate these young people. Man, we celebrate these young people, and I thank God for this service. Every single year, amen. And to the one who might be thinking it, it's not too long. We can't take enough time to celebrate and validate these young people. I'm serious. Man, we better celebrate them now while the Lord give us a chance. Amen. And the pastor won't have to go visit them in the penitentiary. Amen. And he won't be having to pray for them because, you know, you can't go, you can't find them somewhere. Amen. So why don't we pour into them right now today? Amen. Why don't we establish a sure foundation in our children right now? Amen. I'm telling you. Yes, yes, D, yes. And so, listen, man, we've been blessed all week long. I'm not going to sit up here and try to preach for a long time. Man, we're just going to say what the Lord have us to say and sit down. I thank God for all of our graduates, amen, celebrating them, all of our young people who are matriculating, amen, to the next level in their education. We celebrate them. Man, I thank God for this time, but at the same time, man, we're in that line these kids come across. I'm reminded of two things: how old I am and how short I am. It seems like every year I'm like this, looking up at these kids. Amen. But guess what? Even in that, I can rejoice because it's a blessing. They're growing. Amen. They're prospering. Amen. 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 And listen, we love every single one of them. Amen. They are a blessing. And man, did they not bless our hearts on Thursday and Friday night. And if you missed it, that's a shame. That's all I'm going to say. That's a shame. Because you know what? It validates the reason why we up here doing this. amen, to hear what the Lord is doing in these kids' lives. And I'm telling y'all, we got to celebrate them. Listen, listen. See, this is what happens. I start saying stuff to get myself in trouble. Don't come out to banquets and fashion shows and all these other stuff if you can't come out and celebrate our young people. Seriously. It's more important. It's more important. It's more important. Amen. God has called us to them. He's called us to them. Man, and we ought to be running every time the doors open to celebrate our young people. Man, we ought to be running to celebrate these young people. Amen. And God bless you. Amen. So in the book of the Psalms, chapter 1, starting at the first verse, we have a couple of passages of scripture. And we also want to ask you to also look at, put your finger on Matthew chapter 13. Amen. It's our Sunday school lesson this morning. And also Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. We're not going to preach all these texts. Amen. Our focus text is right here in Psalms 1. But we definitely want to reference these other passages of Scripture. Amen. Starting in Psalms 1, man, we've been hearing about this all week. Starting in the first verse, where the psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he," somebody say, "meditate, meditate day and night." And this person who meditates on the word day and night, he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth fruit in, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the, somebody say, righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the, somebody say, righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. We also want to look at this first, starting at verse 21 in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. And this was the Sunday school lesson this morning, y'all. He said, "Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." But here it is right here in verse 23. "But he that receiveth seed into the good ground," or the soil, "is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, amen, and some 40, 30. Amen. I would say I was trying to make sure y'all was paying attention, but that ain't even the truth. I was just on automatic for a second there. Amen. Amen. And then finally in Philippians chapter 3, in verses 8 and 9, he says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him." And be found in him. And be found in him. "Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Amen. 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 In verse 2 is our focus text here in Psalms 1. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Amen. If we were to choose a topic for this text, amen, and we thank God for the theme of our youth month, amen, which is rooted and grounded in Christ, amen. That's the theme, and our topic would be our fellowship, planted for fruit, positioned for fulfillment. Our fellowship, planted for fruit, positioned for fulfillment. Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you today. God, we honor you, O God. We reverence you, we extol you, we worship you, we praise you, O God. We honor you because there is nobody like you. Father God, you are the Most High. You are holy, you are omnipotent, you're omniscient, you're omnipresent. You are the self-existent God, your God, Jehovah. You are the preeminent God. You are Elohim. Father God, you are our very peace. You're Jehovah Shalom. You are our Lord and Master. You are God Adonai. And Father God, you are provision. You are God Jireh. Everything is in you, O God, because you are everything. And God, we seek you, O God, this morning. Heavenly Father, the God who is the great I am. Heavenly Father, we seek you for what we need this morning. And we pray and we ask you right now to help us by the aid of your Holy Spirit. Magnify yourself. Magnify yourself in us, O God. Meet us in our place of need. Fill us, O God. Fill us with yourself. Heavenly Father, thy word, search us, O God. And fill us, O God, and complete us, O God, this morning, O God. Bring us to an end of ourselves, that you might take your rightful place in us this morning. Heavenly Father, and be glorified. Glorify us, O God, with your life. We need you this morning. Can't do nothing without you. Crucify my flesh right now, that I won't speak of myself. But, oh God, that you will testify of your goodness, of your love, of your perfect will, of your wonderful intentions for us, oh God. Reveal our desperate need for you this morning, oh God, so that you might follow right behind it and meet it. Have your way right now. We thank you and we praise you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. 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 Rooted and grounded in Christ, our fellowship planted for fruit, position for fulfillment. Our fellowship planted for fruit and position for fulfillment. And it's funny. It's not funny. It's reality. Man, if you look all throughout this Bible, the Word of God, you'll see that time and time again, in so many instances, the Word of God uses agriculture as an analogy, right? Because that's what they did back then, right? Right? They farmed, they cultivated the land for fruit and for what all that they would eat. You hear about the harvest. You hear about reaping. Amen. Amen. And so many times, even Christ himself, when he was given parables, and we heard it, those of you who are in Sunday school, plug for Sunday school. Amen. If you're in Sunday school and you're not in Sunday school, you need to be in Sunday school. Amen. Even this morning's lesson, dealing with the sowers and the reapers. Amen. But even Christ, so many times, talking and using the analogy of agriculture, to edify his children. Amen. He talks about how he's the true vine, right? And we are the branch, and his father is the husbandman. Amen. He talks about the seed that falls into the ground and dies, right? Unless it dies, it abides alone. Amen. But when it dies, what does it do, y'all? That's it. It brings forth much fruit. He talks about the fig tree and the fig tree that does not produce fruit. Amen. What happens when that tree does not produce fruit? He talks about the mustard seed and how a single seed, amen, amen, and that single seed, how it multiplies and produces great faith, amen. That's the fruit of that seed, amen, amen. And so many other instances and so many other examples and so many other times he uses this analogy of agriculture, right? And in all of these, the writer, it always points back to the fact that any time that the seed falls into the ground or any time that something is seeded, that something has to be produced. Amen? It's got to bear something. It's got to manifest something. It's got to produce something in our text today, whether we talk about here in Psalms 1 or we talk about we've got to be rooted and grounded. He talks about a tree that's planted by the waters and how it bears much and its leaves shall not wither, right? Or whether we're talking about here in our other text in Matthew chapter 13, and he's talking about what, you know, he's talking about the seed that falls on stony ground versus the seed, amen, that gets swept away versus the seed that falls on good ground or good soil. It all is for the purpose of producing some kind of fruit. Amen. 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 And that's the thing, y'all. That's the thing. The key to this whole thing is, listen, where you're planted. Where you're planted is critical. Any fruit, any vegetable, any tree, any crop of any kind not properly planted can't live. It can't prosper. It won't benefit. Amen. It won't sprout up and be beautiful enough for somebody to stand up and take notice. And the soil, y'all, the soil is the key. The soil's the key. The soil is what cultivates life. It anchors the roots. It stores the nutrients. It provides life-sustaining water. It leverages the energy from the sun to create, you know, Pastor Wright was talking about this last week, to create photosynthesis. Right? And guess what? The wrong kind of soil can prevent plants or fruit or whatever that thing is from getting the moisture and the nutrients they need. The wrong kind of soil will choke the life out of that thing. And what the psalmist and Christ are letting us know is where you're planted, where you're rooted, where you're positioned is everything. Is everything. And how many know as believers, guess what, y'all? We're rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. That's our place. That's our position. That's where he created us to be. That's where he created us to sit. That's where he created us to stand. That's our position. Our position is in Christ Jesus. And it's the planting. It's the rooting. It's the grounding. That represents our position. It represents our standing, y'all. And ultimately what it represents our fellowship. It represents our fellowship. And that's why he says what he says in verses 5 and 6 of our text. When he says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners, and listen, in the congregation of the righteous. Or for the Lord knows the way. In other words, he's intimately familiar and acquainted with the ways of the righteous. You know why? Because the ways of the righteous are not anybody or any particular person's ways. It's not my ways or your ways. The ways of the righteous are his ways. And that's why the sinner or the scornful, right, or the bitter won't stand in the congregation of the righteous, because they don't know the ways of God. They're not broken to the fact that God is good and his ways are perfect. They're not broken to the
much God loves them and are not convinced and confounded of that love to the place where they're willing to, where they're willing to submit and surrender their lives, that he might take their place. See, they're out of position because they ain't grounded. And this is our ground. And I want to let you know that if you're anywhere except in Christ Jesus, you're out of position. Your membership don't put you in position. You serving on that auxiliary don't put you in position. You sitting in Bible studies and prayer meetings and church services don't put you in position. The only thing that puts you in position is the profession and the confession and the repentance of yourself to turn. Not to turn from. That's the thing. We have this whole perspective of deliverance and repentance. You know, I'm turning from sin. I was delivered from drugs. I was delivered from alcohol. See, your lens is all messed up because it's not about what you've been delivered from. It's about what you're being delivered to. See, when I'm delivered from something, I've got a rear view mirror experience. And guess what? I can't look in my rear view mirror and move forward effectively. I don't dare anybody to do this. Just imagine it. Don't do it because you might get yourself in trouble. Imagine trying to drive your car forward while looking backwards. What's going to happen? Right, you're going to be wrapped around somebody's pole. Right? And that's why, and that's the thing. And that's the whole premise of not just this message, but the entire Word of God is about our fellowship. It's about us. Us and God meeting at the intersection of where he gets what he wants and we get what we need. That's what this whole salvation thing, it's not about religion. Guess what, y'all? I'm sorry, we don't get no points for coming to church. We don't. This whole thing is about one thing, your intimate and my intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything else is supposed to support that. Man, it's about our fellowship. Man, it's about this wonderful and this sweet, the privilege of this sweet communion. Man, and as believers, we're rooted in him. We're rooted in him. It's Christ Jesus, nothing else. And that represents our position and our standing and it's our fellowship. That's why he said what he said in verse 5 and 6, because it all boils down, it's our righteousness, our position in Christ. Amen. And that's a life lost in and completely eclipsed by the life of Jesus Christ. See, what we want to do is we want to make Jesus a part of our life. We even get up and testify. I've done it. I want to thank God who's ahead of my life. God ain't trying to be the head of your life. He ain't trying to be a part of your life. Paul said we are dead and our lives are hid in Christ Jesus. And when Christ, who is our life. See, God's desire is to be your life. See, that's the problem. Our flesh wants to live its best life in this world. And we constantly cheat ourselves of our best life because our best life ain't in this world. And the church has compromised to try and walk a fine line where we both in the church and in the world, because I get the best of both. I get the best of both lives. But you're cheating yourselves because this world will do nothing but leave you disappointed, keep you chasing after stuff that break, depreciate, run off, run out, and die. Keep on, keep on. And that's why we're tired now. Because we chase him. But the Bible says, seek ye first, really seek ye only the kingdom of God. That's our fellowship. That's our intimate relationship. And guess what? He said, I will take care of all the rest. See, we tired because our salvation is like Walmart shopping. We want to go in, right? You ever been in a store? And you go in the store and you know what you want, but you don't quite know where everything is. And you went in this section and you went and got something. Then you get all the way to the other side of the store And then you realize, oh, what that other thing that I needed is way back where I just was. And you do that 3 or 4 times. By the time you get to the register, you're just tired. Guess what? That's how many of our salvation experience is. Because we're trying to get fulfillment over there. Then we run over there trying to get validation from somebody. Then we're way over here trying to get some security from somebody else. Then you're running around all day on social media and Facebook trying to get some likes so that you can pump up your self-esteem. And then by the end of all that, you tire, spiritually tired, not recognizing that Christ Jesus is the one-stop shop. He's the one. He said, seek ye first the kingdom, and I will add. He'll do the rest. You won't be spiritually tired. Then you'll be able to come out on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday and support our youth. Amen, lights. Doing youth revival. The church should have been just like this on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Should have been. Amen, and you would have seen the blessing. You would have seen the blessing of the word manifest right before your eyes. I'm going to leave it alone because some of y'all are mad right now. It's going to be all right. Just say amen out, whatever. Right? It's our right. It's our position. That's our position. Not Christ as a part of our life. Not even him as the head of our life. We talked about that. But then he goes on in that same verse and he says, we're dead and our lives are hid in Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear or be manifest, we shall appear with him in glory. That's the blessing. That's the fruit. The fruit is Christ. The blessing, it's the manifestation of the glory of God, or the beautification of our lives in Jesus Christ. That's his goal. His goal is to beautify you and me with himself. That's what he wants to do. And that's what he's talking about in our focus text in verse 3. When he says, and he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf. See, because God is continually beautifying us. What does he say? He's talking, this is the eternal nature of God. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the glory of God. That's the beauty. This is what God wants to do in the life of his children. And guess what, y'all? He don't do it with temporal things. God beautifies his children with eternal things. God gives us what we try to get out of the stuff we spend all our money up on. But he just cuts out the middleman. Right? What we try to get through our cars and our homes and educations and all this stuff and then put it on Facebook so the world can see. God does all that stuff in himself. He blesses us by means of himself. But it's only when we got to be in position. And our position is Christ. Listen. Our position is Christ in our stead. That's our position. It's not Christ on the side of me. It's not Christ near me. It's not us walking hand in hand through the park with Jesus Christ. But it's Christ instead of us. That's when he says rooted and grounded, that's what he's talking about. It's Christ in our stead. Listen, it started on the cross. It started on the cross and it continues in perpetuity. That means forever. That's what this salvation is about. He went to the cross to take our place on the cross so that he can continue to take our place in life. That's his goal. You know why? Because he took our place on the cross for our salvation. He takes our place in life for our testimony. And when we stop with the substitutionary death on the cross, guess what? That's a selfish salvation. But when we continue and allow him to take our place in life, he beautifies us like the flower that comes up out of the ground so that everybody can see him. and our life can testify of the goodness of the Lord. And somebody else gonna get saved. That's what this salvation represents. It represents eternal. Guess what, y'all? Salvation, listen. I know. Salvation ain't about heaven. Heaven is a place. A beautiful one at that. But guess what? When you get to heaven, if you're truly in love with Jesus Christ, that's the only way we're going to get to heaven. You ain't going to be worried about the aesthetics of heaven. Actually, you will. You know why? Because they're not in a mansion or a gate or streets of gold. They're all in Christ Jesus. The beauty and the glory of heaven is going to be found in one place. In one place only, Jesus Christ. That's why he says in Revelation, we ain't gonna have no more need for the sun. Because it represents the glory. That's why I said, because the glory of Christ is gonna illuminate all of eternity. We're gonna be captivated. See, some of y'all are disappointed in what I'm saying right now. Because you say, well, I ain't never had a mansion. I'm finally gonna get a mansion. You ain't gonna be worried about no mansion. It's imagery. Because Christ is not in the business of meeting our needs by things that are temporary. He's going to meet our needs by himself. It's going to be about Christ. So if you ain't in love with Jesus, fall in love with him right now. You need to fall in love with him. He's going to bless us by means of himself instead of us. Listen, our righteousness is imputed to us. It's nothing that we've earned. Our position in Christ is nothing that we've deserved or earned. It was imputed to us. Righteousness came by way of substitution. That's why we're righteous. The Bible says, my righteousness and your righteousness is as of a filthy rag. There was no redeeming quality in us outside of Christ going to the cross, taking our place, so that when God sees us, he don't see us. He sees Jesus Christ and his blood. That righteousness is imputed unto us. In other words, he took our place. Look at what he says. That's why he says what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. What did he say? For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. In other words, the perfect one who knew no sin was made sin for us. In other words, he took our place. For what purpose, y'all? So that we might be made the righteousness of God. What did you and I do in that scenario? Absolutely nothing. Only because the only reason we have right standing, the only reason we have position, fellowship, the only reason we can be rooted and grounded is because of the work of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. That's our position. That's our right standing. That's how we're planted in Christ Jesus. Everything that we have, anything that we have that's worth anything, we have in Christ Jesus. You can't work for it. You can't buy it. You can't run for it. You can't steal for it. You can't kill for it. People, the reason why I say that, because people are out there they're looking for something. And because they can't find it. They go about any means trying to get it. But guess what? We have everything. We were made for that purpose. We were made to be satisfied. And fulfilled by Christ Jesus. That's our position, y'all. That's our position. Everything outside of what we have in him is temporary. Everything. Every single thing. Everything else. Name me one other thing. Tell me. Please tell me. Please name me one other thing outside of the word who is Christ that don't break, depreciate, run out, run off, and die. Tell me. The Bible says heaven and earth and everything in it is going to pass away. But what? His word. His word is going to stand forever. The grass withers. The flower fades. But the word up, listen, y'all, we better get in this word. We better fall in love with this word. We better hide this word in our heart. But the word of the Lord, it's going to stand. It's going to stand, and it's going to stand forever. That's how he satisfies us, by way of himself. He completes and fulfills us. We listen, y'all. You can only be satisfied by that thing for which you were made for. And that's for him. We were made for him. Y'all, guess what? That's why, listen. That's why the garden wasn't good enough. Do you hear me? That's why the garden wasn't good enough. God showed us that you can give a man every single thing that he thinks he needs. And then try him and test him and tell him, but don't touch that one thing. The flesh is hardwired to go get the one thing that you said that is forbidden for you to get. You know why? Because we're not complete until we have Christ. He always meant for Christ Jesus to satisfy us. And man has been seeking and searching for a garden experience ever since. And until a man or a woman comes to the point in the place where his heart is broken to the fact that you'll never be satisfied and fulfilled outside of Jesus Christ, he will continually run around like a dog chasing his tail. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And y'all, if don't nobody in the world get it, the church has to get it. Because if not, then all this stuff that we're doing right here, it's in vain. Seriously, we can't come in here and shout and run and do all these things. And that was what the Sunday school lesson was about. Right? He talked about the seed that was planted and you received it with joy. And you were emotionally excited. You got happy. You was running and jumping and doing backflips and cartwheels and hanging from chandeliers. But you ran out and ran into life and you forgot everything because of the shame of the world. The word. We've got to get it. We can't be that church. We can't be the church that comes in and plays church and goes out there and look like everybody else. Or else nobody else is going to get saved. That can't be us. Man, we've got to draw a line. I'm not talking about being all sanctimonious and, you know, all that stuff. I'm talking about dying to self and allowing the life of Christ to be manifest from our lives. So that somebody, guess what, y'all? If you let him, he'll do the work for you. He really will. If you let him. But we've got to let him. And that's what he means when he starts this. When he starts this text off, you want to talk about the glory of God? You want to talk about the beautifying of believers? That's what he means when he says, blessed. I know we see all the concordance and they talk about happiness and all these things, but it's more than happiness. It's more than being blessed. It's more than having an object. It's more than walking around, you know, talking about, you know, we love to kick that word around. Favor ain't fair. All these things we love to say in the church. No, what it represents. What it represents, it's not about an object or an emotion. It represents the very fruit of our fellowship. It represents the fruit that is produced as a result of being planted in Christ Jesus. I don't care. You can make 6 or 7 figures. You ain't blessed unless you got Jesus. You can drive the most expensive car, live in the largest house. You're not blessed unless you're planted in Jesus Christ. You can have 10 degrees doctor of this and a doctor of that, it don't mean nothing. Guess what? That's going to burn up with everything else. The only thing that's going to last or have any eternal value is the word that is engrafted in our hearts. That's it. That's it. It's the only thing that's going to last. So if we're going to get on Facebook and brag about anything, let's get on Facebook and brag about the word. I'm serious. That's what we ought to be holding up. Man, if we're going to hold up anything, let's hold up our relationship. Guess what, y'all? I got degrees. I got a pretty good job. Guess what? That's the same stuff that brings me stress every single day of my life. Seriously. Because in the eyes of God, that stuff, listen, thank God. And let's listen. I encourage every single one of our young people, go get an education. Go do that. But don't... But understand, that's not your fulfillment. Go get a good job. Please go get a good job. Then maybe you can help a brother out. But just know, that's not your fulfillment. It's only in Christ Jesus. That's right. We'll forever be chasing. Forever. We'll be ever be chasing something that can't satisfy us. Listen, the blessing represents our God-given capacity to experience and to enjoy and to share the goodness and the favor of God. That's what blessings represent. James said it. James 1:17. What did he say? He said, every good. And what kind of gift? See, we get a lot of gifts and we want to celebrate them, but they ain't perfect gifts. God said, James said, every good and perfect gift don't come from your boo. You didn't get that. I didn't get that. Yo, I just turned 50. I didn't get that. Thank God for my birthday. Hallelujah. See you another year. Praise God. But guess what? I didn't get that when I turned 50. I already had it. I had it the minute I confessed Jesus Christ as my Savior. My faith has just got to catch up to know it. We've got to grow to a point in our faith where we know how blessed we are. To know that we had this treasure in earthen vessels. But it has nothing to do with us. It has everything. Man, it's in Jesus Christ. Comes from God, seeking, living, walking in the fullness of God. The problem, this is the problem. The problem is our flesh wants to be blessed outside of our fellowship with Christ. So it seeks fulfillment in the world. That's why we run a chase. Guess what, y'all? I'm guilty. But we've got to come to our spiritual senses to know, guess what? That thing can't satisfy us. Man, it's only in Jesus Christ. Listen, we can't be filled by things that leave us empty and disappointed. That's why John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He says, for all that's in the world is what, y'all? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride. That's why we got to shut our eyes, close our ears, get off Facebook just for a little bit, y'all. Seriously, I know they'd be like, why are he picking on Facebook? Because if y'all was here Friday night, you know, you would know why. I said, I won't say nothing else. That's the last time. Until the next time, Minister Tober said. Man, and it, listen, the pride of life, and it's not, listen, it is not, listen, we got to, man, this word, we got to stop just glossing over what God is saying to us. Do you know what he said? He said, and it is not of the Father, but is of the world. And guess what? And he says, the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of the Father abides forever. That's why Paul goes on to say earlier in Colossians 3, he said, if you'd be risen with Christ, do what? Seek those things where? Where who? Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Listen, this is telling, this next verse. See, we got to stop glossing over what God is saying to us. He says, set your affections, the things that I love, the things that I desire, the things that I chase. Set your affection on things above. Hear me. What's that next thing? Not on things where? Not on things where? Okay, we all going, listen, we're going to go all back to our meditation closet, right? And we're going to figure out what that means, right? Right? We got to go to figure out exactly what that, he says, seek those things that are above and not those things that are in the world, that are on the earth. Listen, we got to ask ourselves, where are we seeking our satisfaction and fulfillment? We have to ask ourselves that. Where are those things? He's telling us where we ought to be seeking it. Those things for us are in Christ. And guess what? The Lord will bless you. He really will. If you let him. If you submit and stop trying to go get it yourself and let him do it, he'll give you what you need, more than you need. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above what? More than you can ask. More than you can conceive in your mind. He's able to do it. So what is he telling? He says, stop talking and stop thinking. That's what he's telling us. And let me do it. Submit. Surrender. And he'll bless us, y'all. He'll bless us. He knows how to bless you more than you know how to bless you. He knows how to bless you more than whoever else knows how. He can bless you better than your job can bless you. It's him. These things, everything that we have are in Christ Jesus, and we're rooted and grounded. We're rooted and grounded through our fellowship. And our agreement.
I'm timing myself.
In Christ Jesus. And that's the thing. We can't get it outside of fellowship with him. That fellowship represents our agreement. And that's what we were telling the Sunday school class this morning. In order to have fellowship, there must be agreement. There is no fellowship without agreement. You can have relationship without agreement. Right? You can know somebody. Somebody know you. You don't necessarily, prayerfully not us, but you don't necessarily like them and they don't like you. Y'all don't get along too well. There's no agreement there. There's no fellowship there. That's a rocky relationship. When you have fellowship, there is agreement. And the problem is many of us in church, we have relationship with God, but it's a rocky relationship. You know why? Because we don't agree with him. And guess what? Agreement is not coming to church and sitting and listening and bobbing your head to sermons. That's not agreement. That's not agreement. Agreement is what happens when you go back and you take the principle that your head agreed with, go back into your closet and apply it so that your heart can agree with it. Because when your heart agrees with it, that agreement will lead to obedience. That is the evidence of fellowship. Being in church is not the evidence of fellowship. The evidence of fellowship is obedience. And obedience comes by way of brokenness. And brokenness comes by way of a heart belief. That's why Paul said, the heart with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Our rooting, our grounding, our position in Christ. If our heart's not broken to the word of God, then guess what? You're out of position. Amen. And many in church are out of position because all we're doing is lifting up burnt offerings and sacrifices. But David told us in Psalms 51, he said, I delight not in burnt offerings and sacrifices, but what I desire is a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. He said, this I will not despise. Amen. See, we got to stop coming to church going through the motions. And we have to allow the word of God to get in our hearts to a place that leads us. Guess what? When he breaks your heart, guess what? Obedience is not hard. When your heart is broken. What did he tell us in 1 John chapter 5? He said, basically, I'm paraphrasing, when we're in love with Christ, his commandments are not grievous. It won't be a burden to obey God. But our hearts have to be broken, y'all. And listen, I got two points, quick. And these are quick points. Right? Talking about where we're planted, and that has to be in Christ Jesus. It makes the difference. And he tells us two very important things in this text to help us in our planning and making sure that we're rooted and grounded in Christ. The first thing he lets us know is where you fellowship or who you fellowship with and who you are connected to and what you connect yourself to will determine whether or not you grow or whether or not you fade. What does he tell us? He said, blessed is the man that does three things or that doesn't. Well, that does three things. And it all determines on who you do it with. Amen. Or the type of people you connect yourself with. Blessed is the man that does walk. That walks, that stands, and that sits. That's what he's saying. And that walking represents how we live. Or how we pattern our lives. Or what exactly it is that we practice. That standing represents what we believe or what the principle on which we stand on or what regularly influences us. And that sitting represents everything that we're talking about, ultimately, where you are planted. And he tells us, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that makes sure that his environment is free from those things that mess up his progress in Jesus Christ. That's what he's letting us know, that our environment conducive or supportive or that cultivate our fellowship or our position in Jesus Christ is everything. That's what he's letting us know. And so what he does what's called a double intender. Or he makes a polysemic statement where the word really has two meanings. Because when he talks about the ungodly, when he talks about the sinful, and when he talks about the scornful, he's not just talking about people. But he's talking about people and the spirit that they project. And he's letting us know to steer clear of people who project a certain spirit. Because if you continue to surround yourself with people who project these spirits, and that's why he uses the analogy of walking, standing, and sitting. He says, because ultimately if you continue to hang around these people, because the analogy of that means that assumes, right, that we're running for Christ. But if you continue to hang around environments and people like this, then your running will soon slow to a walk. Then your walk will eventually slow to a standing still. And then your standing still will eventually end up where you're sitting or you're planted in ungodly situations and circumstances. And this is what he's warning us about. This is what he's letting us know. He says, where you're planted means everything. And even those of us who are in Christ Jesus, if we're not careful, if we don't make sure we've got a healthy balance between what we do and what we expose ourselves to out there, our run will eventually slow to a walk. And our walk will eventually slow to us being stagnant or not moving at all. And then our moving at all will then, listen, man, we'll then be at a place where we're just so planted, where we're just rooted and grounded in the things of this world. Then that's when you come to church and make a bunch of excuses about why we live in the way that we live. Because we won't know the difference between what God is saying, We'll be so lost and caught up in the things of this world. We'll sit there and be like, well, man, them ministers, Minister Tober, Reverend Williams, Pastor Wright, it don't take all of that and all this stuff. They always talking about dying to death. I ain't got to die. Sure you don't. Keep on believing that.
Right. Amen.
That's your purpose.
Jesus.
You must die in order for Christ. Unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, guess what? It abides alone.
Right.
But when it dies, it surrenders itself for the life of Jesus Christ, then the fruit will be produced. That fruit is Christ Jesus himself, because he takes our place. He called us for that very purpose, y'all. This is what he's called us to. For God causes all things to work together for the good of them who love him and who are called according to his what? And then he goes on to explain his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Then he doubles down, because predestinate means purpose. For what? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn. Guess what? To deny death is to deny your purpose, your eternal. Guess what? Your purpose ain't your job, your career, your money. Guess what? God forbid, listen, y'all, I'm just here to tell you the truth. Your purpose ain't even your children. Because guess what? Until you die to yourself, you really ain't no good to your children.
Amen.
I can't leave my family in my own will and in my own strength. You know why? Because the Bible tells us two very important things. Number one, there's a way that seems right to Marlon. But in the end is destruction. My best intentions are not good enough for my family. I will lead them down a path of eternal destruction in my own will. Why? Because the carnal mind, my natural mind, hates the things of God. It's enmity to God. It's not subject. You know my carnal mind. I can't talk about you. Maybe your mind is right. My carnal mind does not respect the will of God. It is not subject to the will of God. Neither can be. Means it is impossible because of Adam's sin. That's why it's got to go. That's why it's got to be mortified. That's why our carnal minds have, it's going to land us in trouble, because it's always going to chase after what it wants.
That's right.
It's always going to chase after things that break, depreciate, run out, run off, and die. Always, you give your mind the option, absent of the Word of God interceding and the Holy Spirit interceding on your mind's behalf, you give it the option. 10 times out of 10, it's going to choose. It's going to choose opposite of the will of God. Unless we allow the Word of God to deal with our hearts. And that's why, here's my final point. And that's why he says what he says in this verse 2. But his delight. See, our hearts have to delight in the Word of God.
That's right.
And that's why we got to fall in love with Jesus first, y'all. Because if you don't fall in love with Jesus, every time it's time to go into the Word, it's going to be a chore. You know why? Because all you see are letters, stories, precepts, principles. That's all you'll ever see. But when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, what he does, he reveals the very face and the life of Christ through his Word. You'll see it totally different.
That's right. Amen.
You'll see it totally different. And that's why he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the Word of God, and in his law. And when my delight is in the Word, guess what? I'll meditate on it. I love it. David said, hide the word in your heart. You know what that means? He was referring that it was analogous to a treasure. Because what you treasure, what do you do with treasure? You bury it because you love it and it's valuable to you. So he says, hide or bury the word in your heart. Why? So that you might not sin. In other words, so it might deal with our unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. Sin is unrighteousness. Not trusting God for your life. So that it will bring forth agreement between you and him, and you won't sin against him. See, sin comes from unrighteousness. Sin comes from the fact that I don't agree with God. So I don't trust you and I don't agree with you. So instead of doing it your way, God, I'm going to do it my way. That's the origin of sin. We get caught up, well, I did this and I stole and I fornicated or I, you know, whatever that sin is, we got caught up. That's the fruit of sin. What you did, that action you or I did, is the fruit of sin. Sin started from our unbelief and our willingness to trust God in the first place. That's where sin is birthed. So don't listen. And that, and we run around trying to chase after our conduct. No. Man, that's like sending somebody on a wild goose chase. Stop chasing after your conduct. It's not about your conduct. It's about your relationship. When my heart is broken to agreement with God and fellowship, he deals with my conduct. Because then I'll know who I am. Therefore, I will not operate and act out of character. But when I run around chasing my conduct, what I did here, what I thought here, how I acted there, how I responded there, what I thought here, all this other stuff, man, the enemy wants you chasing after your conduct. No, God wants you chasing after him. Then he will handle your conduct. Because this whole thing is about one thing, y'all. If we start with the end in mind, the salvation experience will be a lot easier. The end is our fellowship. It's all about our fellowship. Oh, Lord, help us. Man, look at what he says. We just read it in Philippians 3. He says, yea, doubtless, Paul. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. What? For what? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, for my fellowship. That's what he's saying. He's saying, Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss. He's talking about dying, y'all. He's talking about dying. But we ain't got time, right? Of all things, and do count them but dung, for what purpose, y'all? That I may what? That I may what? That I may win Christ. See, he was operating with the end in mind. He knew all this other stuff didn't mean nothing. That all he needed to do was chase and pursue Christ. That's why he goes on just a little bit further in that text. He said, I count not to have apprehended. He said, but it's one thing I want to do. I need to apprehend that which I have been apprehended of. He had tunnel vision for Christ Jesus. And that's why he said, I forget all those things that are behind me. That's what I'm talking about. You can't have a rear view experience. Forgetting those things which are behind me, I'm looking for those things that are before me. He said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is found in one place. In my job. No? Oh, my fault. In my house. Right. I love her. In my wife. Ain't even found there. Only in Jesus. It's only in Jesus, y'all. Man, we ought to be living a life that center around chasing Christ. We chase everything else in the world. But then we come to Jesus Christ and, man, please. We ought to be chasing as the deer. Pants for the water brook. So does my soul. And I'm going to just say this and I'm going to leave it alone. Then we're done. Right here. Right here, listen, the gap or the difference. This was the second point, but I'm not going to elaborate on it. The gap or the difference between us hearing God's word and God's word being our living experience is meditation. That's the difference. The difference between you having a surface experience or a surface level relationship with God and an intimate relationship with God is meditation. The difference in you experiencing and living and basking in the delivering or God's faithfulness to deliver on the covenant promises in his word, the difference in you experiencing that and not experiencing that is meditation. The reason why we can come into the church, hear the word and agree and have a shout and good time and go out there and immediately be tacked and overwhelmed with the spirit of anxiety and depression and worry and all those things, meditation. Because unless the word gets in our heart and breaks our heart of us, takes it, the Holy Spirit takes it and supplants the lie that has been told to us, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. The lie that was told to us all the way up until our salvation experience. Unless the word gets in and undoes that, we'll constantly and continually, even in the church, walk around in the bag with the baggage of unbelief, unsatisfaction, disappointment, worry, ambiguity, anxiety. Continually. And this is why, and I'm not talking about community or any church in specific, I'm talking about the global church. This is why the church is rendered with no power these days. Because we have a form of God, but we deny the power thereof. You know what that power is? That power is the life of Christ living on the inside of every single one of us. Do you know how that power is cultivated? That power is cultivated by the word breaking our hearts. Listen, y'all, and this is what he's talking about. Read it. Meditate. Please meditate on it. He's talking about allowing the word to get into a place in us where it replaces our way, the way we see things, the way we hear things, the way we react to things, the way we respond to. That's why Jesus, listen, he wasn't just saying it. He said, that's why he said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Who? He is. And unless we are planted in him, it's the only way to experience fellowship with the Father. The only way. Where are you planted? As we stand. There might be one here today. Man, I'm here to let you know. If there was one thing that became clear and apparent to me on Friday night, the devil ain't playing. But many of us is playing. We playing right into his hands. We are in the season and the time and the generation of access. Access to everything ungodly. Access to everything that means to distract us from the promises of God. The wonderful affirmations of him telling us how much we're loved. in everything that we have in him. We don't know it. You know why? Because we believe what the world says. We believe what we see. We believe what we hear. And we believe how it makes us feel over what God has said to us. And unless the word gets in your heart, we will continue to live in that state. Time out. Time out for playing church. Time out for coming in here just because it's something to do on Sunday morning. Man, it's time to seek him. He said, if you draw nigh unto me, that's guaranteed. He said, I will draw nigh unto you. Who better? We run around chasing after folk who don't even care for us. But yet God stands from eternity and say, I've loved you with an everlasting love, a love with no beginning, a love with no end. And guess what? Despite what we've done, a love with no interruption. Who better? Who better to put our life into? We've been disappointed many times by people. And God wants to break your heart with his love to a point where, guess what? Even the people you love the most can't disappoint you. That's the power of the love of Jesus Christ. And if there's somebody here today who wants to know him in that way, I got news for you. He wants to show you. He stands ready and waiting to prove himself to you. This morning, he'll do it if you let him. If there's one here today, I don't care. I don't care if you've been a member here for 100 years. If your lens is not a lens of fellowship and intimacy, he stands ready waiting for you today. Even if you accepted him, but there's an un. You don't agree. There's no fellowship. That's the grace of God. He stands ready. You don't ever lose your position. He's ready to put you right back in your rightful position. You can come. You desire prayer this morning, come to the altar as the choir sings.